Please go ahead. The call is now being recorded.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's JIG call on Tuesday, the 19th of July. We have Jian Sung, Jason Frakes, Avery Doria, Sun Ding Tang, Jun Seo, and Edmund Chung. Apologies, we have Fahd Bataine, Dennis Jennings, Andrei Kolesnikov, and Rafik Damak. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Edmund. Hello, Edmund.
Sorry, I was putting myself on mute. thank you, and thank you everyone for taking time to join the call. And my apologies for being a bit late today. I was stuck in a bit of traffic earlier on. But anyway, so let's get the call underway. I'm actually trying to bring up what I sent around in terms of a brief agenda. Okay, here you go. From last meeting, we circulated a motion for the consideration of GNSO to extend the charter. I think that's in, and I thank Rafik for making motion, and it has been seconded. I have been responding to some inquiries about some clarifications on the motion, which is basically to extend the charter of this group. I guess the expectation is that the GNSO will meet on Thursday, the 21st, and to consider the motion, and hopefully we'll have it passed. I have volunteered myself to be on the call in case there are further questions about during the discussion and consideration. So, on that particular topic, we also heard from the VIP team in terms of our timelines, and I want to bring it up briefly. Unfortunately, Dennis is not on the call. I see that he's on vacation. I'm sorry if anyone from the VIP team is actually on the call right now.
Edmund, this is Joff, and I'm the team coordinator for the Latin team.
Right. Okay. I meant staff actually, but. Thank you, Jocelyn. But anyway, so on the topic, I think Steve Shang from the VIP team actually sent a note to Jane and I, and was just mentioning that we originally had the plan to start picking up the IDN variant TLD right after September, right? I mean, into September, because the idea is that by end of September, it's the VIP would the study teams, the six study teams would have their initial report into the sort of integrated team, and so the JIG can utilize the initial reports from the study teams and further consider the issues in parallel with the study group. So Steve's question was whether, you know, we should wait until the final report to come out in December to further consider our work. I think, I guess my general thinking is that we probably should wait in terms of our own final reports and stuff, but I think by the time we hit late September, we should probably have a good idea where it's where the study teams and where the final report might be heading. So I think in terms of the time frame, I'm more inclined to try to work in parallel. But I just want to bring this up and see if anyone have any thoughts about that. Regardless of that, I think the motion at this point is flexible enough for us to take the issue, whether we as a group finally decide to wait before we do anything, or we do something in parallel and wait until the report comes out before we make any decisions. Either way, we would still be able to fit within the extension motion. But I did want to bring this up because this is some feedback from the VIP team. So I wonder if anyone wants to add to it at this point.
Adam.
Yeah.
This is Jen. Yeah, this is Jen. I think I do agree with you. We could do the work parallel. In that case, probably we don't need to change our timeline, right? Current working plan.
Yeah, that's. I think the as I sort of mentioned over email, I think we could continue with the target at this point, but if things changes dramatically between September and December from the VIP teams, I think at that point we'll probably have to make some adjustments. But at this point, it seems to me that given the many, many things that have been discussed in IDNs, I think somewhat confident that working in parallel would probably be more efficient and effective. Okay. Okay, thank you. And so in that case, we'll continue with the motion as it is. I thank again. Is Rafiq on the call? In any case, I thank him for making the motion at the GNSO, and we'll see how it goes. After the GNSO, I believe there will be a CCNSO council meeting in August, which this will be considered as well. So hopefully from the positive response in the GNSO, we'll also get the formal extension from the CCNSO to move forward. This is really just a very process, it's part of the process for this group to continue its work. Okay, so that was item number one. And item that I had in the proposed agenda was some follow-up on the IETF coordination. That we talked about that, Avery, last time, and you were going to try to draft something.
Yes.
And so I'll give the time to you.
This is Avery, and I was bad. I didn't get that done. I got one of my two tasks done, but I didn't get that one done. So it's still on my plate, and I'll try to get it done real soon now.
No worries, but thank you for alerting us that I think you probably you didn't send to the mailing list, but you alerted me through IM that we had this discussion and said that if the IETF working group is the DNS extensions working group is considering this in Quebec City, we would, sort of move faster on this. But since they are not going to talk about this in Quebec City in their upcoming meeting, I guess we still have some time. So we'll take our time and perhaps, I don't know, by the week after our next meeting, you think you would have the time to get them together?
I know I said that once before, and it turned out not to be true, so I'll say it again and hope it's true this time. Yeah, I think it's not on their agenda. As far as I can tell, I don't think the DNS extension is actually meeting at all. So yeah, but I obviously should get it done, and, we should get it through. So I will definitely work on it. And just to be clear, this is basically taking the comment that we had that said, or that I put through and then we discussed on the call, that basically a recommendation that they should wait a bit for some of the output from of case studies from VIP to look at beefing up their part of that part of the document before going forward to last call is essentially what I'm saying, correct?
Right. That's
okay.
That's essentially what we discussed
and
in Singapore and subsequently as well.
And that's I just wanted to make sure that when I thought about working on it late last night, I had a moment of doubt, which was probably just convenient to keep me from working, but I just wanted to make sure. Okay, thanks. Yeah, I'll have it next week. I even promised this time.
Cool, but actually, thanks for drafting the motion, that was very helpful, we'll look forward to your further draft. Okay, so I guess that brings us to the actual work item that we're working on in these few meetings, which is the item 3 that we identified, which is the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. As we discussed last time, last few times, we were trying to sort of do a stock-taking around the group to try to identify some of the issues or items that this group should consider and should put out for public comments perhaps in a way, quote-unquote, to get ICANN and the ICANN community working together towards this goal. As we discussed last time, it seems like, just a totally free-flow stock-taking process was sort of coming to an end, and I sort of drafted, therefore, a document. It's really a very rough draft on a sort of an initial report, somewhat like the format of the report that we have done before, starting with some background information of related works and what has been happening, and then with a second section considering some of the issues that we've identified, and then the third section being some preliminary thoughts about those, how to address those issues that we identified. I wanted to note that the third area, really, we haven't spent any time talking about it. I was just really repeating the second part and then just adding some initial thoughts to it for discussion. But I think since I only sent this, apologies for that, only a few hours ago, I'm guessing that not a lot of people have had the chance to take a look at it. So I was planning to perhaps walk through a little bit and just explain how I sort of try to consolidate some of the discussions before and see if we're on the right track going forward. So I guess at this point, before I go on, I wonder if anyone have any thoughts on this and whether I'm totally off or not. Okay. So hearing no one trying to stop me here. Okay. So one thing I forget to mention, I understand that Bart is still on vacation. We have one outstanding item trying to follow up from Bart about following up on the single character IDN TLD report and how staff is considering the implementation. There was some action on it, and we're still waiting for Bart to come back to us. I suppose he'll be back by our next meeting, and hopefully we'll get some update from him on that. So coming back to the issue that we're talking about, the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs, if you can try to open the document that I sent earlier, I'll sort of quickly walk through hopefully the first section and then the second section, but first the first section about the background and see if I have included enough of the items that we have discussed and whether we want to add more. So I just realized that my second paragraph is not even finished when I sent it out. But so the idea is really just to identify some of the work that has been done. So the background, and I wanted to start off by saying that, you know, this whole concept of a universal acceptance is not new. We're not considering something new. It was exposed in the original 2000 round and also felt in the 2004 round. But I think the introduction of IDNCC TLDs and the upcoming introduction of new GTLDs is going to further expose this issue, and therefore I think this is definitely something of common interest between the CCTLD and GTLDs. And so this sort of sets the stage for the discussion. In terms of some background works, I've from our discussion, and again, thank you, Jonathan, for bringing it up, and last time as well, I have sort of identified five areas where it's relevant previous work. The first one being within ICANN, there was a universal acceptance of all TLDs started in 2003-2004, and the action culminated to a TLD verification tool, which was being put out in 2006 and 2007. Thereupon, there hasn't been much further activity. The second item was the that we identified as the public suffix list, which really started in 2006 and has been developing really into almost like a industry standard, as Jonathan has presented to us last time, and being used in various areas, and it's currently being maintained by Mozilla as a sort of a public community project. The third area that we found is that, you know, I guess with many things on the internet today, there is also a list on Wikipedia that in some ways have some relevance to what's happening here, and I think that's also a list that is often being referred to. Maybe not as much technically, but at least very much referred to when people look up for information. And then another relevant item that with this discussion that we're having is the Mozilla sort of what is called the whitelist, the IDM whitelist, and it's something that was started in 2005 when a number of concerns surfaced about phishing and some confusable characters utilizing IDN characters. And I think that list also determines the level of support for IDN TLDs as well. And finally, I think I know this was brought up briefly in Singapore and was dismissed quickly, but I still think it is relevant sort of prior work, and that's about the unique authoritative route at ICANN. I still think, you know, some of the things, if we consider what ICANN should do going forward in terms of, for lack of a better word, enforcing this perspective or enforcing this quote-unquote policy of unique authoritative route, this is something that is relevant as we try to talk about universal acceptance of IDN TLDs, because universal acceptance really means universal acceptance of this unique authoritative route at ICANN. So these were the five areas that I have identified as sort of background works that we would continue to refer to as we consider what we should do, or you know, the policy, or, you know, the sort of the standpoints that we would sort of stand by. So I wonder if anyone have any thoughts, or I should take something out, or there are other areas that I really, you know, we should reference as background and related prior works.
Edmund, yep. This is Jonathan Frake speaking.
Please go ahead.
I found a resource at the W3C that's very helpful as well. I'll forward that by email to the link to the list.
Okay. So W3C, and that, could you quickly elaborate, perhaps, as we are?
So essentially, they have an entire background on the resolution of paths. They talk about the URL and the domain itself, and then they also go into some detail about everything beyond the slash as well, as far as how the URIs are represented. So it goes a little bit beyond our scope, but it does talk about domain names in good depth, and it also identifies what each of the different browsers does as a behavior. I think it's a full basis document for what we're doing.
That's great. That definitely sounds like something that we should at least include, in our report as something relevant to what we're discussing.
Yeah, the key thing to take away from it. Sorry.
No, please go ahead.
Oh, the key thing to take away from it is that the behavior of each of the browser softwares is slightly different from each of the others with respect to how and when it will expose Punicode or the A label in what circumstances. So it's a good read. I'll forward that over to you for distribution to the list.
Right, and you're talking about like the difference between Firefox, where it's a whitelist mechanism, whereas in IE as well, which is almost.
Well, so for IE it works a little differently. It looks at the character sets and scripts that your browser and operating system are configured, and
right.
It uses those as a whitelist.
Right.
And it also uses it as a whitelist in the presence of mixed script in the URL as well.
Right. Yeah, that's certainly useful when we, you know, try to come up with, you know, what ICANN should do and what types of materials we should put together, and you know what they should include. And you know, I guess TLD operators really should need to know that, you know, these browsers work differently. Cool. Anything else? Wanna? Avery, or sorry, I keep apologizing, but you seem to usually have some thoughts. Or June, I don't know whether you have any thoughts.
I'm thoughtless at the moment.
Okay, but do you think we sort of covered the relevant items? Do you think anything should be taken out? Because when we talked a little bit about the authoritative root issue, you were one of those that were quick to say, you know, we should stay away from it a little bit.
Yeah, no, I do tend to stay away from those particularly thorny political issues at the moment, but I really haven't had a chance to read and think about it, so I'm just listening now, and I'm being slow, but sorry.
Okay. No worries, and I apologize. This just came out a few hours ago. I guess this meeting sort of what's sort of my deadline to work out something. And we'll still have our next couple of meetings to consider and further discuss the issues. So, in terms of the background, if I don't hear further, you know, please feel free to add send your comments in the mail list as well. But I will take Jonathan's suggestion, and I'll wait for Jonathan. If you can send it to the mail list as well, this W3C items, and if you can summarize in a few bullet points, you know, some of the key aspects that you just mentioned, that would be really useful as well. Is that okay, Jonathan?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm typing it right now. I'm muted to type it right now.
Oh. All right. Cool. Thanks a lot. So, I guess with that, I'll move on to section two, which are some of the items that were identified in our last few meetings when we were discussing this issue. I sort of start the section by generally addressing that there is ongoing work from different areas. And the other item that I wanted to bring out was that we had a brief discussion about, you know, what the policy implications would be. There doesn't seem to be a lot, but there might be something relevant. As I was preparing the document, a couple came out as well. I'll come back to that as we, you know, talk about the items themselves. But in general, I think what we felt was appropriate was to consider items that are policy as well as items that perhaps the ICANN and ICANN community coordination or some sort of role might the ICANN might be able to play, and to also consider those items as well, and not just be restricted to very ICANN enforcement policy kind of area. So to just clarify that a little bit more, it's really about covering both policies where ICANN can enforce, but also policies in a way that doesn't directly solve the issue, because we really need application providers and infrastructure providers to ensure that there's universal acceptance, and not a policy that ICANN can directly enforce, but it can certainly indirectly try to influence in terms of the adoption. So that's sort of the premise of the discussion. Okay, and in terms of identifying the issues, I sort of grouped it into four areas, and in sort of simpler English, the first item is really whether there are policies that ICANN could implement itself. The second one being, who ICANN should work with, or how we could identify who to work with. The third one is which areas ICANN should focus its efforts on, and really how to prioritize. And the fourth area is what types of work ICANN should do. The type of work that the ICANN staff and ICANN community can work on. So I sort of grouped it into these four areas. And the first question is really whether there are any policies to be implemented. I guess I asked a couple, times, and we sort of didn't come across it. But as I was preparing this document, I sort of came across a couple of potential areas, which is budgeting. Is this work important enough that ICANN really should budget some have some allocation from the budget on really addressing universal acceptance of IDN TLDs, because you know we've seen this universal acceptance of TLD work that is being done a few years ago. It sort of came and went. Not sure whether it made an impact, how it did, and all those kind of things. The question is whether it we should recommend that ICANN take it on and budget it as an item. So this is one of the areas that you know sort of I want to bring up and raise today, and perhaps get some feedback. And the other one is whether ICANN can make it a policy for, you know, those IDN ccTLDs and gTLDs, you know, at least the registries, to embrace this concept, at least, of accepting, you know, whatever systems that these registries operate would support the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. So I'll sort of stop here and see if I get some feedback on the two items that, and whether they could be or should be considered policy aspects on this issue. One is budgeting, and the other is some kind of commitment from IDN ccTLD and IDN gTLD registry operators. Any thoughts?
Well, Edmond, that was a lot of questions in one, right? This is Jonathan again.
Okay, let's go back to the first question then. Just budgeting is that perhaps we'll focus on budgeting and say, you know, do we think this is sort of like an ICANN policy consideration to set aside budget for this type of work? Is this appropriate as something that we should at least ask the community, or this is not policy at all, this, you know, put it somewhere else?
Well, this is Jonathan again. My personal opinion is that this is some important work that, you know, I would request budget for if they haven't already planned some budget. Much of what we would do with respect to universal acceptance overlaps with the new gTLD program to some extent, because there are many shared considerations that software developers and other areas are going to need to pay attention to. But that said, there are very specialized things that folks within the IDN community will have to focus on, such as, you know, code points, supported characters. I mean, it's a long list. But they're not considerations that are necessarily present for strings that are going to work in the A to Z space. But I think that budget would be helpful for this. So I'd answer yes for that.
Okay, cool. And I agree very much. And the reason why I came across this budget is I was looking at the new gTLD communications plan, and there's nothing there to talk about even remotely about this issue. So I thought, you know, this is something perhaps we really should raise, you know, as a sort of flag and say, you know, we need some resource allocation, you know, on this particular item. And that's why I sort of raised it as whether, you know, this should be something characterized or categorized as some sort of ICANN policy.
Well, Edmond, if I could nuance that, I think that there's different categories of universal acceptance. You know, I think that there are certain things that we could do that have a very small consumer base, and there are certain things we can do that have a very large consumer base. And what I mean by that is that you know, the software development community are a small number of the overall population of the earth that have a significant impact on, you know, how software will work. But an even smaller subset of those are going to be the actual TLD administrators themselves. And I think that, you know, for example, one means of universal acceptance might be having some staff member or some role at ICANN that we could suggest might be in charge of connecting those two communities together.
Right.
You know, maybe that's a way, without using outreach for the overall TLD program, it may be better to really focus that energy, and that might be something that's attractive as a budgetary consideration for ICANN. Just a thought I'd throw out there.
Right. I think that, yeah, that's very useful. In fact, you know, I was thinking, because I was just sort of brain dumping some of the issues, and I think that is something definitely in terms of sort of which areas ICANN should focus its efforts on, and you know, what actual actions ICANN should take. I mean, that's sort of what I identified as 3 and 4. But I guess overall, some budgetary consideration seems to, you know, at least this is, again, I come back to the intent of this initial report is to put some initial thoughts around, you know, what we think might make sense and throw it out to the community and ask for, you know, feedback from the community through the public comments period. So, you know, it's at least so far from this discussion, it seems like raising a flag on budgeting for this this area might make sense. Okay. Thank you. And so that brings me to the second question in terms of policy and whether and that's whether we should consider it a sort of a general policy that ICANN, in a way, should get the commitments from IDN CCTLDs and IDN GTLDs that at least in their own systems, you know, when we talk about universal acceptability, of course, ICANN is unable to enforce other systems, but at least for registries, especially IDN TLD registries, perhaps there are some commitments that ICANN can ask for commitments from the new IDN CCTLD and IDN GTLD registries. And sort of the examples are that, you know, their system, at least whatever system they use, should embrace universal acceptability of IDN TLDs. Does anyone have any thoughts or?
Well, Edmond, you triggered this. If folks aren't used to my voice in the small group here, it's Jonathan again.
The
thing that's missing in the URLs, I think, is also the document of the current IDN guidelines. I think 2.2.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That identify, you know, identify your code page and also, you know, you're saying by including here that things that are not included here are not accepted. And that's going to be something that helps the development community understand what characters are or are not legal if they're writing more specific software. But that's probably a helpful guideline to include as a URL. We dig that up and send it to the list as well.
Okay. So this is something including on, you know, some of the things that in terms of to do, if we create a guideline of some sort and to include that. But also, I guess, it is also relevant in terms of the background work. And I suppose we should also include this in the discussion of the background work as well, in section one. Okay. Thank you. And so back to the question is, and I guess, Avery, I wonder what your thoughts are, you know, whether it's appropriate that we recommend we sort of, well, at least we look into the appropriateness of having policies to for IDN ccTLDs and IDN gTLD registries on this issue?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly appropriate to look into whether we should have policies. In some cases, I'm not sure that the issue extends all the way to a policy and really may just be a recommendation of an action or something and doesn't go as far as policy, but maybe, you know, I'm confusing myself when I think of policy as something requiring a PDP. So you know, at this point, I'm not sure that I see things where there's actual PDPs that are required, though I agree it would certainly be worth considering, you know, but at this point, I'm not sure that I see them, but certainly it's worth going through the topics. It's certainly worth going through budgetary issues. It's certainly going through looking at possible incentives that could be granted in various places and to whom one does so. So certainly it seems a topic worth diving deeper into.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I guess I'll move to the second item. And just, you know, let everyone know, as we go through this, you know, if some other issues come to mind, please bring it up, because I think we're still trying to go through a sort of stock-taking process to really bring out all the issues. The reason why I sort of drafted this document is to hopefully stimulate those thoughts, and if I'm missing something or off on any particular issue. So, moving forward, I'll cover number two, and I see that we're closing in on the top of the hour. But I'll quickly talk about the second item, which is, you know, which organizations. The idea is to identify which organizations I can should work with on these issues, and really how I can and the ICANN community can identify these organizations and you know how we do it. You know, right now I guess we have sort of a few of them that we can identify, but how do we continue to do that? Because one of the things that we said in our couple of sessions earlier is, you know, that this work we probably in terms of the ICANN and ICANN community, we couldn't take it on totally on our own, and we need to coordinate with other organizations. And so I sort of split it up into two areas. One area is really the industry or related organizations, and the other area is those areas where there's emerging sort of industry standards. And the first one being, you know, organizations such as IDNSDC, which is an initiative started by VeriSign, and it's, gathering momentum again. And, you know, perhaps some of the RIRs, ISP associations, IT sort of organizations as well. This is sort of from the industry and related organizations area. But the main question is how we might be able to identify this. And then the second one is emerging industry standards, which is, of course, the public suffix list, which is really emerging as an industry standard, and also, you know, obviously the Wikipedia TLD list, which I see a lot of reference to as well. So I guess... I know it's a bunch of questions, but I'll mix it up and say, you know, what people think, and you know how we could identify this, and how we could really maintain a list of this. And you know, what I'm really asking is what kind of mechanism and process we could even consider putting in place, or whether, you know, this is the right question at all. Any thoughts, at least on what other organizations or areas we should coordinate with?
This is Avery. I'm about to cut off because I have another call. But one thing I'd suggest we look at, and I'm not sure it fits in here, is those groups and loose organizations that actually do free and open source and such, because a lot of the needs will be not only at the registry level but at the various application levels within Linux, within all of that, and just to make sure that everything is covered up and down the stack, it may be worth talking to some of those organizations that take responsibility for free software, whether it's the developing group or one of the distributor, and such other groups. So that would be a category I would look into. Also, not just with, ISPs or registries themselves, but there are various groups that, are putting out perhaps registry software that, or some of the packages for registry software that are free and open source, and getting those people interested in it, especially if they are populations of developers and free software providers from, IDN zones and places where alternate scripts and languages are the norm. So that would be one suggestion one category that I would think we would want to think about. Thanks. And as I say, I'm going to drop
off. Do you have a couple of examples? Because I think that's useful for people to wrap their head around. Do you have a few examples of these groups?
Well, I'd have to get the names, but for example, thinking about Linux, which is so pervasive, and then perhaps thinking about Ubuntu, one of the distributors in Africa, and one that is very pervasive, used by a lot of NGOs around the world. And those are the kinds of people who, may have the ability to put some people on taking these available software packages. In terms of the registry service provider software people, I don't have the names for you, but I'd have to do a little research. I know they're there, but I haven't paid enough attention to necessarily come out with a name. So, that, as I say, that's something worth looking into. But
right, thanks. That's great. And if you can do that little bit of research and send it to the list, or something, if it comes to your mind, just send it in. That will help us further develop this draft.
But also, as a general category, I'd recommend that people on the group might know better than I, who within their script and language group is doing FOSS support for applications that would need to be modified to work with IDNs once they're available and working.
Right. And the whole idea is to get the list started, and then we'll try to get feedback from the community to add to it.
Good thing. Okay, I'm dropping off now because I got the last call.
Thank you. Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Avery. Any further thoughts on this? Of course, this is not the end of the discussion for these items. The idea is I'll take the feedback today and incorporate it to another draft and continue through the document and through the discussion for probably the next couple of meetings as well, and then, of course, through the mailing list as well. But I guess we're at the top of the hour. Yeah, Jotham, please.
Edmund, Jotham, I'm sorry to dominate with so many comments. I think there's a sort of an ad hoc software development group that crosses the registries that meets at the ICANN meetings. That is being driven by one of the registries and, has participants from across a lot of the ccTLDs and other gTLDs.
Right. Do they have – I'm not sure. It's more of an informal group at this point.
It is an informal group. I would agree with that. And You know, I think there's probably two or three other similar groups all sort of outside of each other's orbit that,
right.
You know, if there was universal acceptance, that there would probably, or universal acceptability, that there'd have to be some, they'd have to be brought to alignment to some extent.
Right. It would be useful if you, you know, if you could identify them or, you know, and send
right.
a note to the list and, We'll try to incorporate into the document and you know, circulate.
That sounds good. And, you know, I comment that my efforts with the Mozilla Foundation on the public suffix list, it does have a trickle-out effect to different, you know, the impact with different software. However, I agree with what Aubrey said about, you know, getting the operating system and other people involved, having some place for them to go. It's going to be very helpful
right.
with universal acceptability. All right, thank you. Sorry to go beyond the hour.
No, not at all.
Edmund, this is Jun at BetterSign. I think Joe-san was referring to IDNSCC meeting, IDN Software Developer Consortium meeting, and we have the charter document. I would not call it charter because it's really informal. We have discussion points and much larger portion of the discussion points are talking about universal acceptance of IDN, not only top level, but also in second level and so on, in various different internet applications such as web-based email and email and email server and search engine and so on. So I'll be able to share the document with this group so that we can incorporate any wording from that document, because the sole purpose of the SCC would be universal acceptance of IDN, so same way ASCII domain names are being used and accepted.
Right. Yeah, I think that is the kind of, you know, work that I think, you know, we definitely want to support and coordinate as an ICANN community as a whole. And therefore, you know, absolutely, and this is one of the, I guess IDNSCC, of course, is the first one that comes to mind. And I think one of, you know, related to this discussion is, I think as we talk about it as an ICANN-wide initiative, you know, we would like to have the participation from ICANN staff as well as, like, you know, ICANN other parts of ICANN community as well. So, you know, definitely that's the IDNSCC is one of the key organizations that we should include and recommend that ICANN continues to work with. Okay, so I guess we're well past the hour. So unless somebody has something urgent or something to bring up, or else we'll close this meeting and I'll update. I'll hope to see some of the items being sent to the mailing list, and I'll try to update this document and circulate it before our next meeting, which is 2 weeks from now, and we'll circulate another proposed agenda, which will also try to get an update from Bart when he's back from vacation on the follow-up on the single character ID and TLDs as well. Any further thing people need to add? If not, then thank you for your time, and we'll wrap the session here.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.